the eroticization of domination is core to patriarchy. If I never again hear the phrase kink shaming, that will be too soon. Kink shaming is a phrase, don't kink shame, is a phrase that is thrown out quite often these days by lefties to attempt to silence any effort to discuss forms of sexuality that may be harmful to society or to individuals. I saw someone commented the other day that if you require giving or receiving pain in order to have an orgasm, you probably need to see a therapist. And just like clockwork, pretty quickly, a bunch of people, read in this case a bunch of men, responded very quickly with, stop kink shaming. And let's think about this for a second, that if someone, well, let's really talk about those who need to inflict pain in order to have an orgasm. You know, even 30 years ago, that would have been considered, we could have sane conversations about that in society. I'm going to back up. And I remember in the 80s, I was driving cross country late at night and listening to Dr. Harvey Rubin, listening to an all-night, AM station, talk station. And this woman called in and said, you know, I have, Dr. Harvey Rubin is a psychologist or psychiatrist who would, people would call in and say, discuss their problems with him, and he would answer. And when somebody's driving across Utah in the middle of the night, they would listen to this to stay awake. And this woman called in and said, you know, I was dating this man, and we stopped dating because he wanted to use S&M. He said in order to be sexually satisfied, he really needed to participate in S&M. And I didn't want to do that, and I broke up with him. So I saw him like a year later, she said, and I asked him how he's doing, and he said, I'm doing great because I found a woman with whom I can have this sort of relationship where we inflict pain upon each other. And she left that exchange, and she wanted to ask Dr. Harvey Rubin if he thought that he really was happy. And 35 years later, I remember his response, which is, we can say that he has found someone with a complementary neurosis. He has found someone with a sexually compatible neurosis. But sexually compatible neuroses are not really a sound basis on which to build a relationship. And so I don't think this means that his relationship is healthy. And today, because of the changing politics, he would probably be kicked off the air for saying that. And it is, there's an anarchist / queer theorist called Pat Califia, who is kind of a big deal in the sort of sex posi world. And at one point, Pat Califia carved a swastika into a bound lover's arm And one is not supposed to say that this is disturbing and disgusting and vile and harmful. One is supposed to say, wow, that's liberating. But I love what Arthur Evans had to say about that. Arthur Evans was a really good gay activist and writer who wrote, I believe it's called Witchcraft and the Gay Counterculture, something like that. Anyway, it's a really good book. Has a chapter that is one of the best chapter titles of all time, which is Sex Among the Zombies. Anyway, he commented on this. What sort of person would derive pleasure from carving a swastika into someone else's arm? And that's part of the question we need to ask, is what sort of person would derive sexual pleasure or any pleasure from the intentional infliction of harm upon another? The people who argue for these forms of sexual practices say that it's liberating and that you're kink shaming and that you're prude if you don't think they're good, if you don't think that that is a liberating thing. And they think that this is some huge break with patriarchy. But one of the many things they're not understanding, intentionally not understanding, is that patriarchy is based on the eroticization of domination. And it has been from the beginning. That if you can combine, I'm going to back up again. And Ruth Benedict talked about how some cultures are good and some cultures are not good. And the good cultures recognize that humans are both selfish and social. And the way they destroy any bifurcation between the selfishness and altruism is by socially rewarding behavior that benefits the group as a whole and by disallowing behavior that benefits the individual at the expense of the group. So, for example, say I go and catch salmon, and then I bring them back to my community, and I hoard them. People would disallow this behavior. On the other hand, if I catch some salmon and I distribute them among the group, then people will praise that behavior. That behavior is socially rewarded. So the selfishness comes in that we want to be socially approved. And so the good cultures don't just approve of every social behavior. They approve of the behavior that benefits the group as a whole and that serves life. So one of the brilliant things patriarchy has done has been to combine selfishness, which can be read as the urge to dominate, or that's one form of selfishness, I should say. When you combine that selfishness with the power of orgasm, that's a really powerful combination that carries more power than the urge to dominate by itself. And I'm not the first to talk about this. We have Susan Griffin's Woman in Nature. We have Susan Griffin's Pornography and Silence. We have the military putting nipples on domes that are for nuclear weapons. We have the military chant, this is my weapon, this is my gun. This one's for fighting, this one's for fun, as they hold a rifle in one hand and their penis in the other. The eroticization of domination is core to patriarchy. And the ascendance of sadomasochism represents the further ascendance of patriarchy. And it also represents in terms of masochism, especially, it represents, in terms of those who are receiving this pain, it represents unmetabolized trauma, and it represents those who one of the things that dominators attempt to do is to get their victims to fully internalize that oppressive worldview. This is just sort of domination 101. So many indigenous people have said that the first and most important thing that we need to do is to decolonize our hearts and minds. And if you have been abused as a child, and if you've been sexually abused as a child, that can profoundly affect the neural pathways, and you can come to confuse fear and love, and you can come to confuse being dominated and affection. There's a passage by Judith Herman where she talks about this. I would like to read it. An incest survivor describes how she embarked on a conscious program to change her ingrained sexual responses to scenarios of sadomasochism. Quote, I came to the point where I really understood that they weren't my fantasies. They'd been imposed on me through the abuse. And gradually, I began to be able to have orgasms without thinking about the SM, without picturing my father doing something to me. Once I separated the fantasy from the feeling, I'd consciously impose other powerful images on that feeling, like seeing a waterfall. If they can put SM on you, you can put waterfalls there instead. I reprogram myself. So there are a couple points to be, made here. One of the points is that there is this notion these days that, I'm going to back up. One definition of torture is the intentional infliction of pain upon another. And under most circumstances, most of us would recognize that if, especially a member of an oppressor class, is torturing a member of an oppressed class, that's a bad thing. Yet somehow, queer theory, sex positivism, third wave feminism, cultural insanity, patriarchy, at the core of all those, has been able to convince us that if someone gets off, we can no longer do any social analysis of the act. That's insane. There's another quote I want to do by Arthur Evans. Arthur Evans wrote about one reason he thought that BDSM or sadomasochism was harmful. We also have to reflect on the implications of what we do, both for ourselves and for society at large. We have to do so for sex and for every other aspect of our lives. That's what it means to be a mature human being. There's another problem here too, and this is a sort of in some ways broader problem or maybe more narrow problem, I don't know. But it's that the left has ceded all reasonable discussion of morality to the right. That basically the left argues these days that all sorts of horrors like sadomasochism are either moral or that there is no morality in the real world. And that insane, and that is really stupid politically. It's, there is morality, and we need to proudly proclaim that there is morality. And we need to proclaim, for example, that destroying the world is immoral. And we need to regain our senses enough to understand that getting off on inflicting sexual pain on another is immoral, and that sexually exploiting others is immoral. It takes a tremendous amount of rationalization as well as an equal amount of unmetabolized trauma in order to be able to convince ourselves that the sexual infliction of pain upon another is somehow liberating. So I'd like to read a couple of excerpts from my book coming out this fall called Anarchism and the Politics of Violation that have to do with this. The logic of those who promote this seems to be something along these lines. Homosexuals, pedophiles, animal fuckers, masochists, sadists, and so on are, according to both homophobes and queer theorists, perverts. Homophobes consider perverts to be bad, but homosexuality isn't bad, and homosexuals aren't bad. Therefore, and here's why the logic of so many queer theorists runs completely off the rails, all perversion, in quotes, and that's their word, must be not bad, including pedophilia, bestiality, and so on. Put another way, homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, and so on have all been proscribed by this culture. The prescription against homosexuality is unjust, wrongheaded, and immoral. Therefore, the logic goes, prescriptions against pedophilia, bestiality, and so on must also be unjust, wrongheaded, and immoral. As one queer theorist puts it, the same methods historically used by the government to imprison and pathologize homosexuality and gender variation are being used today to justify the extreme marginalization, lifetime institutionalization, and oppression of people who have violated sex laws. Sex offenders are the new queers. It's insane logic. Just because some rules are unjust and inappropriate, therefore, they say, all rules must be unjust and appropriate. It's complete nonsense. And then there's another thing. So you can think of it this way. Which of the following does not fit in this list? Homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, BDSM. The obvious answer is homosexuality is the one that doesn't fit on that list, because the latter three, pedophilia, bestiality, and sadomasochism, all eroticize domination, a difference of power. Homophobia has more in common with pedophilia, bestiality, and S&M than does homosexuality, because homophobia is based on the notions that A, men are superior to women, and B, sexuality must be between a man and a woman, which is to say that from a patriarchal perspective, sex requires a superior fucker and an inferior fuckee. And indeed, since the word fuck carries connotations of both sex and violence, patriarchy requires fucking, as opposed to expressing intimacy in the first place. As Catherine MacKinnon put it, man fucks woman, subject, verb, object. When power is eroticized, as it is in patriarchy, partners aren't supposed to carry equivalent power. In patriarchy, eros comes from and requires a power differential. Homosexuality, at least superficially, and this is true for some other egalitarian relationships as well, interferes with the patriarchal perception of the differential, and therefore interferes with the eroticization of power. So homophobia, like pedophilia, bestiality, and sadomasochism, involves the eroticization of a power differential. Of course, even within patriarchy, especially within patriarchy, we can and should strive for egalitarian intimate relationships. And there are women with women or men, and men with men or with women, who find the eroticization of domination repugnant and obstructive of intimacy. These women and men are in at least this way as sane as it is possible to be within this insane culture. The point is that when queer theorists say that queer is, quote, what is at odds with the normal or legitimate, or as another queer theorist puts it, queer is the total rejection of the regime of the normal. But of course, patriarchy is based on the eroticization of domination. Queer theory is not at odds with patriarchy. It's just another form of patriarchy.